The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library. We'll discuss 24 Legacy, Season 1, Episode 8. I'm Chris Lorenz, and sitting to my left is...
Harrison Hoffman.
Sitting to his left...
Noxier.
Sitting to my right...
Brian Houston.
And sitting to his right...
Robert Kitts.
Welcome back, guys.
Another great week.
Not a terrible episode this week.
Not a great episode.
I mean, no episode this season has been on par for what I think it needs to be.
This had some solid, let's go moments.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
The van, come on.
It did bring to life the thing that I've been wanting out of this show basically all season. So.
I mean, they've set it up. You're right. They set it up, and it could or could not have happened.
Yeah. But
what are we talking about here for our audience?
We're talking about Isaac's gang fighting the terrorists.
So good.
It's amazing.
Second time.
It finally happened.
I didn't think it was going to happen, but it seems so contrived. Like, all the gang members were right there, ready to go.
they were just waiting for the call.
They were in D.C., right where they needed to be, because, you know, of how, traffic works.
Hey.
That's how it works.
We saw how well that worked with Tony Almeida when he picked up the senator's father.
I am so disappointed in Tony Almeida's plotline for this show. It's like,
it's horrible.
Ridiculously bad.
Insanity, yeah. Black Sight has not come through for us.
I wonder if they kind of shoehorned it in after, because it is completely detached from everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, the whole CT... That whole Black Sight plotline is...
It seems like it's happening in isolation because... Like, in one part of the story, they're like, okay, we think that we have a lead and know, where the terrorists are. And then, on the other side, they're just torturing the senator's dad trying to find out where the terrorists are, even though they already think they know.
Well, they didn't know when they started the torture.
Right.
They know when they started, but they knew pretty soon into it.
That is true.
Then they kept going with it for at least another half hour.
That's right. When this episode starts, no one is being tortured. But at the beginning of the episode, Edgar's other cousin breaks free and tells CTU, hey, follow, you know, this van, and that's where they're going to be. There's no real need to torture Senator Ograna's dad.
I mean, there's still a reason to do so, because there was obviously a way that he was communicating with Jadal Ben Khalid, and they need to figure that out, because from there they can communicate with who he was communicating with.
And as it turns out, it's probably going to end up being useful information, because he's probably communicating with Jadala's boss, as we now see.
It turns out there's a bigger bad in this
that
we didn't know
24
about.
Move.
Yeah.
It's fucking, what, hour 8?
Rob, how often has this happened?
It happens quite frequently.
This is the 10th season or 9th season?
10th.
How many seasons has this happened?
Well, almost every season has a second villain at some point. Sometimes it's unclear if it's clearly a boss or just, you know, a second kind of threat that's unrelated kind of to the first threat.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's very rare that the people that are the villains at the start of the season are still in play by the end of the season.
But there's also another 12 more episodes.
That's also true.
So, there probably is, some collapsing things you can input, but when there's only 12, I could see one villain being it. Doesn't need to be two. I know they did two last season, too, so I shouldn't be surprised. But I wouldn't have been surprised if there's only one.
It seems weird that the existence of this person has not been mentioned at all up until now. I feel like last season, you sort of knew that the second big bad was there.
It's true. I don't
find it weird based on the writing in the rest of the season.
That's fair.
I feel like this is them still clearing the board.
All right. So let's go through the episode piece by piece, because right now we're talking about a lot of reveals.
Do we need to?
We don't have to. We can just talk about the good stuff. the good, good stuff.
We can just do a quick recap of each plot line. There's like basically three plot lines.
Yeah. Okay.
We added one more this week thanks to The Wire coming back.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go over the black site just because it's the easiest.
Okay. So not a lot really happened at the black site, but basically the senator's father was there. There's a lot of pointing going on here right now.
Ignore them. Just focus on me. I don't know
focus
what they're
on
doing.
Chris.
We're working on some volume levels. I think it's good now.
We good on the volume?
All right, we good.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, we're good on the volume. Anyway, back at the black site.
Yeah.
So they have the senator's father there, and they got him all hooked up to they're monitoring his vitals, and they're going to start torturing him. Jimmy Smits rolls in, and he's like, you're not going to be torturing my father. Like, you know, Jimmy Smits in.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. And then his wife is like, yeah, but seriously, we're still going to torture him. So they do.
Yeah, because we need the infos.
Yep. And then this presidential candidate stands around while they torture
his dad
at some kind of off the books CIA style black site.
So I want to talk about this torture for a sec.
Well, I mean, it eventually ends because Rebecca gets a text from C2 saying that they've got him.
Much later.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the episode.
I find that as far as enhanced interrogation goes, this is relatively humane. They're not maiming this guy. They're not waterboarding him. They're just torturing him.
But now, that's still pretty bad. Like, they're still injecting chemicals into him and, like, trying to push him to his limits.
But he did kill 4 to 5 people.
So,
that doesn't justify the means,
thing
though.
Against enhanced interrogation is that they usually just don't result in good, like, reliable answers.
That's fair. And I'm not against it in real life, but I am for it in 24.
And
did you catch that? He's not against it in real life. but he's for it in 24.
Should we thank our sponsor this week?
This is sponsored by the George Bush Presidential Library.
Or maybe some Wild Turkey / what did you drink this week?
I had some Not Jack. Some Russell's 50 month.
The same Maybe. Not Jack from yeah, like months. 3 weeks ago.
We both had non Jack, but we had different flavors of non Jack.
We had a wine tasting at work today, so that's also kicked in.
So, but you also went to the gym.
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
Okay. Anyway, I feel like it's kind of crazy for a senator to be going into a black site and seeing like the actual torture, not even just being there.
No question.
But like to see your father get tortured, no way am I sitting there standing for that. Like no matter who, like what
I just ended don't up happening. I just don't understand what they think the outcome of the situation is when like they have to eventually release the senator's father, but he just got tortured. Is he supposed to not say anything to anybody about being tortured by the government?
Well, you assume he would be in jail because they arrest him for whatever information he gives. And
the father is all in on keeping it hush-hush to protect his son's presidential campaign.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one who thinks that presidential campaign's still going on.
And he's willing to go to Guantanamo for it. Or something like that.
Why,
I don't know.
Why is Papa Organa so secretive about how he talked to Jadala? I have some theories.
Because
but
he doesn't want to get arrested.
And he doesn't want to ruin his son's presidential campaign.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't want to ruin the presidential campaign.
They That's could it. Probably like house arrest him on the hush hush on the down low.
But there was one short scene where Uncle Organa, or whoever that other guy is, told Papa Organa, as long as you don't admit it to anyone else besides Senator Organa, you'll get away with it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that like he didn't really know who he was communicating with. He just knew he was communicating with somebody to help his son.
He had a momentary lapse in judgment when he told his son about this horrible thing he did, and now he's just trying to pretend like it didn't happen and get away with it.
I think there's like something more what's the word? Scandalous going on here.
I
wonder if
this is the only foreshadowing in relation to maybe another person going on.
Yeah.
So I mean, he could be linked further up the chain.
It's just going to be that same dude that they introduced this episode, and then they're going to torture him some more, and then figure out how to find that guy.
I don't know if they're going to torture him again.
I think Papa Organa and Jadal Ibn Khalid were boning. But my argument against that, is there's already a gay subplot in the story. There's not room for two.
So says you.
This is how 24 Legacy is breaking new ground.
Is Fox really that progressive?
Fox, nothing says progressive like Fox, man.
Oh, yeah, that's progressive right. is so Fox.
Fair and balanced.
That's right.
So should we move? Anyone else have anything to say about this plot line?
It's so disappointing because we're talking about how all the best actors are in this plot line, it's but they're true. giving them nothing to do. It's horrible.
I want to know what Tony's girlfriend is doing there.
Aisha too?
Aisha too.
Yeah, Rebecca. Aisha too.
Like, she just like was setting up the machine and then nothing else. Previous weeks, like, she's just there. She's not saying anything. Like, what is her role in this?
She's a supervisor.
Okay, I guess, like, I mean, if you're just being the badass supervisor, not talking, fine. But really, like, it just kind of feels like she's just there for looks or something. I don't know.
She's there for plot reasons.
She had to run those med tests so they knew the torture was safe.
They had to make sure Tony was doing it right. Also, when the CIA says black site, they usually mean in a country that allows for terrorists, like for torture to happen, not just like, you know, next door, just that it's not related to the
Maryland.
CIA.
Maryland is not another country.
Yeah. So like, their usage of black site is very weird to me.
So do you actually think that, like, there could be black sites around here where like they purposely don't set up cameras or surveillance or anything?
No. Because the thing for a black site is that you set it up in, like, Turkey or Istanbul or somewhere where you can torture people.
But like, when you have, like, control of all this stuff, like, maybe there could be some place here that, like...
I guarantee you there are some places in the U.S. where you can take somebody to do some off-the-book stuff. Like, there's got to be some place.
I don't know.
At the very least, like, between 2001 and 2008, that definitely existed somewhere in the United States.
I mean, that's true. If the president says it's okay, it's okay. For whatever reason.
They might have a situation going on like that Ice Lake Rebels show where they're just like have it like on a houseboat and then it's not.
That's a deep cut right there, Harrison.
From our other podcast.
That'd be pretty good if Tony was on a boat.
Yeah.
And that's how they explained all this.
That'd be great. If it just zooms out, it's a boat.
Oh, it's pretty like, you know, stable concrete for a boat.
Oh, yeah. Tony only gets the best boats.
it could be some kind of damn, like something that's going to stash the planes. Some
carrier, you mean? Yeah.
Aircraft carrier, so,
yeah. Tony's definitely getting, he goes right from jail to owning the carrier. Like, only like 12 of them in the whole world.
Hey, man, the government can hook up that aircraft carrier.
Definitely.
Ooh, what if it was a submarine?
Whoa. Oh, yeah. There you go. There's a little more of those, so maybe.
But yeah, like, it's just terrible what they've, like, last week we were like, oh, Tony's back, there's the whole Aisha 2 thing, there's a lot going on in this black site, and this week was just nothing interesting.
So I'm hoping that they're just kind of stalling with this plotline this week to give it some more time next week, because they didn't really give it a lot of time in terms of minutes either, so I don't know.
But like, where are they going
like they
with
did.
It?
I have no idea where
they have nowhere to go, like, now they're not torturing him, so like... What is Tony's involvement post torture? Like,
is it just for the love triangle now?
I would be dying if Tony did, if there's like the start of the next episode, he's like, all right, I guess torture job's done. See you later, guys. And Tony just pieces out of the season.
Oh my
God. That'd be insane, wouldn't it?
That'd be so insane.
That would be special so guest ridiculous. Star.
Carlos Bernard Sanders.
Yep.
What?
Carlos Bernard Sanders.
Okay. So do we want to talk about a different plot line?
Let's talk about Isaac.
Isaac?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Isaac, you know, gets chased down because we knew last week he was getting chased down. He beats the crap out of those terrorists.
It ended up not being an issue that they're being chased.
But he is a gang lord, so, I mean, he's probably been chased before.
And he apparently had a bulletproof truck, which we didn't know.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess that took the CTU.
It was the CTU, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know the main Ford F-150s that were bulletproof.
It's built Ford tough.
Then,
like a rock.
This podcast sponsored by Ford.
Yep.
Ford F-150.
Then XLT. He pretty much tortures one of the guys and telling him where to go.
We got to stop for a second. So like Isaac kills one of the guys with some sort of meat hook.
Yeah.
And then he gets a gun to shoot the other guy, but he doesn't just shoot him in the chest. He like kneecaps him from long range. Like Isaac definitely knows his way around the handguns better than almost everyone else we've seen on this show.
Well, so
definitely.
So Isaac was beating the shit out of that guy with that meat hook thing and basically torturing him. He was just beating him with it and asking him like...
Well, that was the second guy that he kneecapped. The first guy he just killed with the meat hook.
Oh, okay.
I said torture.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously, Tony, take notes. That's how torture's done.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Isaac got the location.
Oh, yeah.
Then
because these terrorists are real amateurs.
Oh,
as,
yeah.
They're as so seen. Bad. Like, that guy should just have had a way to figure out where they're going. He shouldn't have known.
What kind of terrorist leader doesn't give all his dudes cyanide capsules so they can just like take them and just not give up the stuff? You got to give them to
the Oxford ones, I guess.
Has that ever happened in 24, Rob?
What?
The cyanide capsule?
I'm sure.
It's not coming to me off the top of my head, but it probably happened once.
I think I've seen it before.
It happens in, what, Austin Powers? Bond films? I don't think there's any other place I've seen that actually happen.
Hey, man.
So, like, in this case, like, most of them are always carrying guns. Like, I don't think I've ever seen any of Bin Khalid's, like, group not carrying a gun. Do you think, like, that's going to be better or worse than a cyanide capsule?
Well, it depends on if you can hold on to your gun or not.
Right. But, like, the cyanide capsule has a potential for accidental release.
It sure does.
I feel like it, you know...
But you'd rather have one of those terrorists accidentally dead than giving up your location.
He didn't seem like he was like... He just feel like he gave it to him pretty easily.
Yeah, for sure.
And then...
He wasn't as invested in the cause.
Yeah, I guess.
There was some cyanide in season 2 on Syed Ali.
Ah.
Wow. Throwback.
Man, the internet comes through.
No, that was just off the top of my dome.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I saw you thinking over there.
Yep.
Thinking with ones and zeros. So then Isaac calls his gang up.
Did Isaac call the gang, or did he get Nicole to call the gang?
I have no idea who called the
gang.
He's
like, hit up my crew.
Someone hit the crew
up. I
got to
do some torturing.
They decided it was... They could not contact CTU... They needed Isaac's crew for this.
Yeah, because they are still operating under the assumption that CTU, that they cannot work with CTU anymore, even though they're currently torturing the guy who leaked the information that they think CTU leaked.
But they didn't know.
They didn't know. But someone could have told them.
But no, I think that's actually a good continuity job by them, which is surprising.
Yeah.
That Isaac and Nicole don't know what's been going on CTU, so they should still be operating the assumption of what they knew at the start.
Yeah, that's
fair. But weren't they going to get picked up by CTU?
I mean, shouldn't
and that's
Eric...
when the terrorists picked them up?
Yeah, well, as soon as they got picked up by CTU, Isaac got hit by a van. I think he's legit to be like, CTU, maybe not the best
choice. I'm just trying to place our timeline for our listeners out there.
It's crazy. That's fair. Yeah, so then...
The gang shows up.
Should we flip back to the Eric timeline for a second to sync it up?
There was one more scene, I think, before we sync it up.
Was there?
Yeah, let's just do when the gang shows up.
Yeah, the gang shows up.
Then we'll sync it back.
And then
is
the gang...
Wait. The gang shows up. Is this an episode of Sunny right now?
Yeah, the accountant's in it.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not going to go deal with these terrorists. We only deal drugs to kids for money.
Is this 24's wild card bitches moments?
Yeah.
And well, yeah, like basically Isaac tries to give this big inspirational speech about like, hey guys, we got to go kill these terrorists because they're about to do all this bad stuff. Also, they have my brother. And the guys are like, well, maybe you could be paying us more for doing this drug dealing, basically. Like,
what's in it for me?
Trying to like negotiate with him.
Yeah, and then he was very generous by doubling their cut.
I would definitely do that.
I feel like maybe you do like a 1.2. You know, you start out smaller than double.
It's a tough negotiation.
I think like when you're going into a hot situation like that, you got to make it worth it.
Yeah, but now he's not going to make any money. How is the crew going to get better? So there's no money to invest in the crew.
No, this is his way. Go ahead.
The crew is not getting better from this. People are going to die.
No, that's right. But when he gives away all his money to the crew, who's going to invest in the crew?
Well, that's actually kind of a fair point. I mean... I just think that, like, you're trying to survive at this point, or at least,
he's
like,
not trying to survive. He's just trying to get those terrorists back.
try and get his brother back.
Yeah, really, really, it's about
him and the terrorists.
I really don't think he cares about the brother. I think he only cares about the terrorists.
I think it's a little bit column A, a little bit of column B.
All right. But then the Nicole gives a pretty rousing speech too. Yeah. It's probably her best acting work in the show.
Yep.
And she does kill somebody, right?
I don't think she kills anybody.
Nope. She hurts somebody a lot.
Because, like, I mean, I feel like there's a good theme of her being a female badass.
And she has killed somebody in the show before.
Yeah.
Episode one.
When she's the
Phantom Menace.
The Clone Wars, you mean.
I mean, she could have iced some of Isaac's gang when they came in, but she thankfully held the trigger.
Yep.
She did it. All right, so let's go back to Eric.
Isaac and the crew roll out, but he leaves his biggest, tallest guy behind to take care of Nicole in the warehouse. She doesn't get to go on the gang war mission.
Important detail.
Yeah. So she's just in the warehouse for the foreseeable
future. So you think she's going to get kidnapped by the new big bad?
they're like, when like Isaac's leaving, he's like, hey, turn off your cell phone so that the government and or the terrorists can't track you. Well, basically. Ooh.
You know, I keep saying Aisha's not coming back, but Aisha could come back in this situation.
Oh, Aisha finds Nicole?
This is definitely an opening for Aisha.
Yeah.
Aisha's coming back. Let me tell you.
I would put my money on she's not coming back, but this is the place you could put Aisha back in the show.
What if Aisha, you know, you said when Isaac gives all his money, there's no one to sort of, you know, keep the gang going. Aisha, though, she feels that need.
She's not going to have money to put into the gang.
No, she will.
Here's the question.
Aisha's out.
Do you think that this new terrorist guy is going to hire Aisha to kidnap Nicole?
Definitely.
Wow.
I think Aisha just on her own decides to kidnap Nicole because she's still mad about Nicole potentially stealing Isaac.
And then something real dumb happens and she ends up with the terrorists.
Yeah.
Probably.
So this is actually something I was going to bring up later, but now that you brought that up, I kind of want to bring it up now. So I kind of want to start making stupid bets. Like bets that like are so outlandish, are so implausible, but we could put down a dollar on them.
But it is 24.
Yeah. So do you want to make like a dollar bet on that?
I've got money on a dollar bet on Aisha being involved with the Nicole situation in some way and it ending up with one or more of them being in the hands of terrorists. Is that reasonable?
I'll take that.
Okay.
All right. Well, what if Aisha's always been working with the big
Urban?
Yep. Still holds up.
She's like, got to put some dissent in Eric's brother's gang because Eric will come to the gang, but we forget if we can't kill him. It'll make perfect sense.
What if Aisha kidnaps Nicole? The CTU doesn't have the resources to go after her, so they only have Tony to go get Nicole from Aisha.
Oh.
And that's how they keep Tony in the mix.
Oh, man.
And then you have Aisha and Aisha 2 in the same scene.
I feel like Tony's out, man. I feel like...
I got an outlandish bet. Tony's out by the end of the next episode.
I agree with you.
It doesn't seem that crazy. It would definitely suck, but it doesn't seem that crazy.
What's more outlandish? He's in or he's out by the end of next episode?
I think it's crazier if he's out, but it wouldn't surprise me that much.
It would be really terrible.
I'll take the other side of the bet. So Tony shows up in at least one episode after the next episode.
I feel like he's got to be a main character.
He's not a special guest star.
I'm going to put a caveat that helps you on that. The previouslys don't count.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they only pad out the episode. They padded out the episode pretty well this week.
There were so many freeze frames in the previouslys this week. They couldn't keep up with them all.
All right. So should we go to the Eric terrorist plotline?
Sure.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Not really a lot going on here. Basically, there's this plan that Andy's going to go and erase the thumb drive that has the sleeper cell list on it. So, you know, Eric's just getting beat up on the ground or whatever. And then Andy's, like, at this computer. They plug the thumb drive in. He runs his little virus and wipes the thumb drive out. Guess that dude from Oxford's a little bit smarter than that. So there was a decoy thumb drive. And now they know he's trying to erase it. So they're going to make him actually fix it. And Andy doesn't want to do it. all they have to do is just stab him right in the leg, and he immediately gets over that and starts decrypting the thumb drive. And yeah, and that's like the big parts of that thing, right?
I mean, Eric does something.
There was the thing with Eric in the chair.
That's right. Eric at some point busts this chair and tries to beat them up, I guess.
He tries to grab a grenade and throw it at them, but it turns out it's a flash grenade, not a frag grenade, and he throws it in the wrong direction.
I thought it was a firecracker.
No, he didn't throw it. Didn't one of the terrorist guys pick it up and just chuck it in the air?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that was...
And we
if it was just a flash grenade, that would have been dumb. Why would you do that? Could blow up in your hand. I feel like it was a grenade, and whoever directed this freaking show just
sucks. I think the dude just didn't know. Maybe he just didn't know what it was.
No, like, if it's a frag grenade, it's very dangerous. Like
no, but it was not a frag grenade, a flash grenade.
Oh yeah, it was a flash grenade.
Yeah,
isn't it the more likely thing that they just screwed up the special effect on the cheap?
I feel like that's way more likely than it not being a regular grenade.
It certainly had like the turtle shell egg shape of a frag grenade, not a flash grenade.
Yeah,
I'm an expert. I played a lot of Counter-Strike.
We do know one thing for sure, though. No one had any kind of shrapnel injuries in that whole room.
None.
Yeah.
So,
and that wouldn't happen with a frag grenade. So, I mean, it was shaped like a frag grenade, but it had to have been a flash grenade.
So, there's something wrong with either...
I feel like it had to have been a flash grenade, but I feel like the special effects were broken.
Maybe. The point is, Eric's plan didn't work.
And... we all thought that Andy was going to take the opportunity to erase the thumb drive or something. That didn't really happen.
Yeah, there were during that whole thing. It's like
or break it.
Big distractions. Andy's chance to do something. Nah,
he's just sitting there.
Yeah. Eric, Eric's move to bust out of the chair was pretty impressive, though.
What is up with the show and weak duct tape?
It was the duct tape. You just smashed the chair.
Yeah, but
he's sitting in a wooden chair and he just destroys it. You don't tape somebody to a wooden chair. It doesn't work.
In a very unnatural looking jump where he got pulled up by a wire and then it just smashes on the ground.
I feel like he was duct taped arms. The one arm was still duct taped after the chair was broken, but the second arm wasn't. I mean, like, how hard is that? I think duct tape his arm, like...
I think that this is one of their attempts at making him like Jack Bauer. Because that's like something I don't remember Jack Bauer doing in any seasons. So it's like, oh, I'm just going to bust
free from this situation. He's a more athletic Jack Bauer.
Sure.
Jack Bauer wasn't doing a lot of athletics other than running on rooftops.
No, he was just shooting people in the head and doing stuff.
In insane rooftop parkour.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, Eric Carter hasn't really been that much of a badass this season. I think that was a good badass little moment.
Yeah. Agreed.
Badass moment of the week.
His brother has been way more of a badass than he has.
If they kill off Eric Carter and make Isaac the main character, sign me up.
That's a win.
I love how neither of them are CTU agents. They're just like, they're involved in this huge plot line for no reason.
Oh, it's insane.
I mean, 24, die another day. Live another day? Live another day.
Die another day.
That's definitely...
That's the James Bond movie, right?
I was going to go with...
Die Another Day is another James Bond movie. And
I was going to go with that's the name of like a new Die Hard movie. Anyway, Jack Bauer was not CTU. Neither was Chloe, and yet...
Yeah, but they had a black ops site help. Chloe was helping him, whereas like CTU is helping Eric, and Eric has nothing to do with CTU.
That's fair.
So Chloe was not part of a black ops site. That was just like a hacker group.
Sure, some kind of
whatever.
Something.
No torture.
Some kind of WikiLeaks.
I didn't say a black site. I said a black op.
Black ops hackers.
Yeah.
Got it. My bad.
So. The only thing in Eric's plot line is at some point some dude just kind of strolls into the room and Eric's like, boy, you didn't think I was going to recognize you? I'm going to kill you. I'm definitely going to kill you. He's just yelling at this guy who walks in the room who we've never seen before, basically. And
his name's Nasser.
Yeah, something like that. That's about it. And... I pretty much immediately realized that they're bringing this dude in to be like the new bad guy.
Man.
Was that the guy Eric was supposed to kill on his mission?
Who knows?
I thought the guy Eric was supposed to kill on his mission was Jadala's dad.
Yeah.
Who he did kill.
Sheikh bin Khalid.
I just don't remember his name. Like, so what if it was just Bin Khalid's like dad but resurrected.
Oh, shit.
He took his face off, so even Jigsaw doesn't recognize him?
I don't think so. I just don't remember, like, who his dad was supposed to be, so.
I think his dad is supposed to be dead.
The dad's definitely dead.
Yeah.
So, in the same plot line, I want to talk about how this flash drive, how the terrorists had, what, an identical one that they broke in the same way? Like, how does, you know, whatever his name is, not realize it's not the right flash drive?
How did they set up the decoy flash drive?
Yeah.
Well, the first part is how, like, where did they get an identical looking flash drive? And I guess I don't know if they bought that one at the same time as they bought the other one. Maybe it was like a 2 or 3 pack.
But it was like
maybe
it wasn't him. It was
maybe
his dad.
They saw it.
His dad has bought the flash drive.
Yeah, man, so, he said a 3 pack and split with his kid.
Dad went to Costco. They're like 10 flash drives. This is a great deal.
So they either had to have gotten a multi pack of the flash drives, or once they recovered it from that homeless guy, then they had to go and figure out, like, okay, we got to go to Best Buy and get one of these or something, right?
Well, it was just like, okay, they have another flash drive that looks similar. Or, like, just a different flash drive. Doesn't even matter because, I mean, Eric would have knows what the flash drive looks like, but Andre does not.
Yeah.
But it's got to be broken in a way that it can be fixed. I don't know how to break a flash drive like that.
Who's Andre?
Andre 3000?
Where I don't know who the guy's name is.
He said Eric knows, but Andre doesn't. Are we talking about Eric Andre right now?
Yes.
Do you mean Isaac?
Isaac.
No, not Isaac, the computer guy.
Andy. Andy Shalowitz.
Yeah, Shalowitz.
Should he change his name to Andre Shalowitz?
Andre Shalowitz.
Man. Yeah, I feel like Andy. Andre Shallow would be a great DJ name. Andre Shallow.
So, yeah. So here's the thing, like it doesn't have to be like an exact copy of the other flash drive because Andy's never seen the original, so it just has to seem broken in some way, right?
Yeah, they need to break a flash drive in a way that can't be read. Yeah. How do you do that?
I don't know, dude.
In a way that it can't be read but can be fixed. That's really hard.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, that part of it can be read, part of it cannot be read. The whole thing can be fixed because they already got the Insania High School's activation code off that one.
Well, yeah.
Right?
So
yeah,
there's just random bytes are wrong. Like what? Like
anyway, apparently Andy does not notice. Like this is not the real broken.
No,
drive.
I got it. But I'm
surprising.
Decoy
drive. Very concerned about
decoydrive.com.
All right. I guess is the CTU plotline.
Yeah. So while all this stuff is going on with Eric, CTU, because Andy's ex-boyfriend busted out, they know that Eric took the red truck. So they're using traffic cams or satellites. They figure out where the red truck was, and they figure out the warehouse they're being trapped at. So while they're preparing a team to move in, it goes up the chain, and they're like, and someone higher up is like, why don't we just get a plane to take a missile and blow the whole warehouse up? Problem solved. But CTU's not happy because they've got their men inside, including Eric, who is really not their man.
Yeah,
exactly.
They have a lot of loyalty to a guy they didn't know 12 hours ago who's broken a lot of their rules.
They've deputized this guy basically at this point.
It's,
I don't know.
It's so nuts how much loyalty they have to Eric when they really should have no loyalty to Eric.
Yeah.
Andy, I guess, is legitimately their guy, even though he apparently just got fired, so maybe he's not either.
I mean, there's
about to get fired.
There's a little bit of loyalty to Eric because his entire old squad got killed, so because of their own fuck ups. So now it's okay. Maybe we should let you go and get revenge. Maybe not. Who knows?
I don't think maybe we'll let you go and get revenge is really how military organizations speak.
It's not how it's supposed
revenge.
To be. It's not how it's supposed to be. But goddamn, they let him do that. They let him go on a goddamn mission. And, understandably, he had training, but he was not well-equipped for a CTU mission where he's personally involved.
You're right about that. They definitely shouldn't have let him go.
But, for some reason,
we've been saying that the whole time.
Yeah. Maybe Jack Bauer influenced this whole thing. Maybe, Jack Bauer getting involved in, all these personal situations.
Jack Bauer, yeah.
Made them realize, hey, somebody getting personally involved is a little good.
What if in the CTU, constitution or whatever, like the manual CTU is, they actually have a clause in there. It's like the Bauer clause.
Where it's like, if you have personal stakes in an operation, no rules apply.
Murder anyone you want.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Bring your family to black sites.
bring your husband to black site day. Okay, so now we got to bring it together, right?
Yeah, so Isaac and crew are headed for the warehouse. Andy's boyfriend and crew were near the warehouse but are now being told not to move in, and there's a plane on its way.
Yes, everything's converging on the warehouse.
They're waiting for target lock.
Waiting for target lock. And they're all sitting in there, and out of nowhere, is there something that happens before
it? Like, Andy's and them are talking about, like, oh, we're so close to decrypting the flash drive. We're almost there.
And then the camera just kind of pans over to, like, the garage door wall or whatever.
No, it was just a wall.
It was just a regular wall.
I thought it might have been a garage door.
I thought it was just a wall.
And then this van just barrels through the wall. It was like a big Ford Excursion or something like that. And like they roll, like
so good.
The windows roll down and it's Isaac's gang doing a drive-by in the warehouse, just shooting out of the window, mowing all the terrorists down. It was insane.
You know, they got to use their strengths.
They
played to their strengths in that one. And then even better, so after the van singing their own triple, Isaac just struts in behind them with a shotgun.
It no joke looks like a scene out of like a Denzel Washington movie when he's walking in there with that fucking shotgun just killing everybody.
Do you think this is the scene why Isaac just said he would be in 24?
I mean, they've given Isaac a lot to work with, like more so than a lot. I mean, he's the best actor. They've also given him some good stuff too. Like,
he's,
I don't know.
He's really getting a good deal out of this.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Hopefully he's getting paid well.
Hopefully. Hopefully he'll get a more prominent role after this season.
No doubt.
Well, yeah. I think there's a fair question of how many is Isaac still going to be with us much longer or not?
I think that's a good question.
It looked like, you know, they were tending to his wounds. They didn't have it all like, you know, oh, will he die? Won't he die?
So Isaac got shot in the gut at some point during this whole situation.
Which, I love how everybody's still talking like this is going to get a second season.
I don't think it's going to get a second season.
So I went to the TV by the numbers rating website to look it up. And it is right on the border for Fox's drama's ratings. Because Fox's ratings are pretty bad across the board.
Huh.
So they're thinking it is sort of on the fence, could go either way.
Oh, man.
I feel like, you know, you can rescue this show. You just need to put money into it. Like,
that's definitely not what they want to do.
I know. I understand that. This is, but you're making a drama here.
Writers are fucking cheap.
Yeah. All they need is writers on this. They don't even need any better. Like, they don't need great actors. They just need somebody that can write a better plot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm going to put down a dollar that, like, it's going to get renewed because it's on the border and they're like, oh, there's actually interest in 24. Let's try to bring it back with better writing.
I got you there, buddy. They're not getting renewed.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So Isaac and crew are shooting this place all up.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, at this point, very clear that these are amateur terrorists because they are getting rolled on by this street gang. Like,
yeah,
a much better showing by Isaac's crew than the first confrontation with the terrorists when Isaac got taken.
They were embarrassed about the first encounter, and they wanted some payback for.
I feel like maybe he should have used that in like his convincing. Like,
do you remember how those guys came in our hood and disrespected all of us? When that, like, dude jumped out of the back of that van and started shooting up everyone's houses.
Do you remember 2 hours ago?
Like, that is like an indication just to go as it is. Like, when crew comes in, disrespects your crew, you gotta go take it to them.
It's all about respect.
Right. Then Andre gets a call from CTU.
Oh, no.
Andre Shallow. DJ Andre Shallow.
Andre Andy gets a call from CTU. Says,
he actually calls them. He calls Cousin Edgar.
Cousin Edgar.
Edgarita.
And said, you've got less than 30 minutes. You've got a bomb on your...
Three minutes.
You just thought it was 30 minutes.
No, I know.
It definitely sounded like 30 minutes when she said it.
It definitely sounded like 30 minutes.
But we knew better.
That was the joke.
because we saw the count, the countdown.
I was like, wait, they're gonna have this go on for a half hour. And so then, you know, Isaac tells his gang to get out of there. You know, Andre, you know, gets out of there. Eric gets out of there, and that's when Isaac gets shot. Eric helps Isaac out, and then the bomb goes off, and Eric's...
We see the main terrorist dude running away.
Yeah.
And then maybe the other bigger terrorist dude running away.
And, well, they then, after the bomb goes off,
yeah,
which is, they've cleverly done the CG here, where you only see it on a, like, a black and white screen.
Not very clever, but they definitely real cheaped out on it.
Well, I mean, it's better than their other CG.
It's better than full screen horrible looking explosion.
And
what did they do for Die Another Day?
Die Another Day or Live Another Day?
Who knows, man?
Like throwing back to Max's like common thing, but like it's Live Another
Day. I don't know what happened in Die Another Day.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, the president got hit with a drone strike.
Yep.
They didn't really show that in super high detail either. They kind of show like the missile going into that stadium.
They showed like the turf going up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it was okay.
They spent a little bit on it.
They definitely spent more on Live Another Day than they did on 24 Legacy.
They probably spent more on that shot than all of.
Because Kiefer probably demanded that the budget of the show was at least like some amount or else he wasn't going to get involved in it.
I have an amazing idea. Has everyone here seen Rogue One?
Yes.
Should they Moff Tarkin the shit out of Kiefer Sutherland?
Oh, yes, they should.
Who's Moff Tarkin?
There's a lot of Star Wars in this podcast. Okay, Grand Moff Tarkin is like sort of the tall, balding, just generally described as gray person in episodes 4 through 6.
Okay.
He's only in 4.
Right.
And he's...
For obvious reasons.
In the original Star Wars, Darth Vader is kind of like a boss guy who's like running the Death Star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That guy.
Okay.
Who is CGI'd.
Oh, totally. Totally, totally, yeah. Now I know who you're talking about.
The actor is no longer with us,
RIP. The general guy.
CGI'd him. Yeah.
Right, the general guy.
Okay, gotcha.
In Star Wars, top generals are Moffs or something.
I feel like Princess Leia was done way better.
But I mean, to have Jack Bauer running this terrorist organization... So good.
Oh, I don't think that's what he meant.
Oh,
he meant that he would come back as a CGI character. Not that he was running the terrorist Death Star.
He's gonna be great as President Tom Kirkman.
We still do not know who the president is. We heard them refer to the SecDef this week, but
yeah, we really need some booty in this.
If there is actually a crossover between Designated Survivor and this show, holy hell.
Never gonna happen, but what?
Yeah, you know,
never gonna happen. But
it's not on the same network,
right? I don't care. I just want it to happen.
Be great.
I mean, the last thing I guess that happens in this episode is that they find Jadala.
Well, so Andy gets out, and he's got the flash drive.
Yeah, he has the flash drive.
And Andy boyfriend, whose name I never remember, finds him. And Andy's like, I've got the flash drive. We can round up the terror cells. And there's a serious...
Oh, I totally thought this was going to happen.
There's a serious mole look in the boyfriend's eyes. He's like, oh, you have all the list of all the terrorists? Interesting. But then they need to move on from that, at least for this episode.
Yep.
And then Eric and Isaac are out. But Isaac's looking real bad, both from the explosion and the fact he got shot. But he's definitely still with us.
Yeah.
And then Eric finds Jadala... And Ollie's is like, where's the other guy? As if, like, Jadala, he doesn't have all sorts of reasons to be mad at Jadala. Doesn't care about Jadala anymore. Where's the other guy? And then the other guy is just Spider-Maning his way out of his building.
Oh, this old dude starts, like, parkouring and doing all this crazy stuff.
This is definitely great. Our screenshot for the night, I think.
You mean?
Oh, yeah.
You mean cricketing it.
What does that mean?
Have you not watched It's Always Sunny?
I've watched a lot of It's Always Sunny. I haven't seen the last like 4 seasons.
Cricket is a goddamn parkour expert. He's just climbing up and fire escapes, like jumping out of like 3-story buildings, like onto a garbage truck.
Okay, sure. Okay. I digress on this one because he was high as shit in that episode. You can't trust anything that happened.
Okay.
I mean, he definitely didn't do any of that.
I have a question.
But no, like, he definitely did the whole fire escape thing.
No, he was high. He definitely... unreliable narrator.
That's fair. Like, we don't really know if he actually did this, but...
the whole plot of that is that we didn't know what he was doing.
But I'm talking about, like, previous episodes, too, where he was actually, like, going at the fire escapes when he's getting
hunted. Oh, okay, yeah. There was that.
That could have still been from the perspective of Cricket, where he was getting high. So, I do like that aspect, though.
So this is the second time we brought up It's Always Sunny. This
That's real episode. Deep.
I would like to sort of twist a previous recommendation on its head where I said, oh, is this an episode of Sunny now? Should we reach out to the It's Always Sunny folks and say, you should have an episode, the gang shuts down a terrorist cell?
I think we should just reach out to the crew of It's Always Sunny no matter what. If we could get them to do a script that we write, holy hell.
Should we write a script and then all Spec of us scripts? Could be actors? And we could reenact it on the podcast.
I'm not exactly sure it's going to get accepted, but whatever. I'll do it.
Sonny's done now, isn't it?
No.
Workaholics
it's not?
Is done.
Oh, Workaholics is done. Is Sonny not done now?
Nope.
Sonny is not done. It's actually one of the longest running comedies. Like, it's longer than, like, Seinfeld.
Well, like I... So
two more seasons?
Dee has her new show, and then I heard that Dennis might not be coming back. Yeah. So, like...
Well, that...
But is Fat like Dennis coming back? Oh, wait, Fat Mac. Never mind.
Fat Mac is
no, now it's coming. Gay Mac.
Oh, yeah. That's spoilers for It's Always Sunny.
Man, we're way off the rails.
Yeah. Okay, all right, anyway. Let's roll back. Let's so roll back.
Does anyone think the new Big Bad Terrorist guy kind of looks like Tony?
Absolutely. He does.
A little bit, yeah.
He's grizzled.
So can we call him Terrorist Tony, or does that not work because Tony was a terrorist in previous
seasons? I think it's going to get too confusing when Tony ends up being a terrorist.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, like, does anybody want to bet that Tony is the terrorist or not?
Tony's not the terrorist. I'll bet you that he's not the terrorist.
The reason it looks so much like him is because he just, like, has some makeup on and actually is him.
I just don't understand. They have all this momentum in the show, and now it's dead. There's, like, no momentum.
Well, how many episodes do we have left?
I think four right? Because it's
There's
episode 8.
9, 10, 11, 12, 4.
That's episodes. Really concerning, because that's not that much time for them to spin up and resolve a lot
exactly.
more things.
Exactly. Like, you didn't build... there's no momentum for this new character.
But they got that time jump coming.
Oh, boy.
Their whole thing from this point onward is going to be jump to plot twist, jump to plot twist, jump to plot twist. It's just going to be crazy, and nobody's going to know what to do.
I'm on board.
They're going to have to spend some time setting up this new terrorist, though.
No.
What are they going to do? What's next episode going to be? It's like all following resolution from what just happened.
It's going to be like they were secretly, like, getting a backup as they were making the flash drive complete, and then they're going to contact the terrorist cells, and then it's going to be CTU's rush to stop them. There's probably going to be some shit in CTU because hasn't been anything in CTU yet because their mole's still there.
This is the thing. There has to be a second mole besides Papa Organa, and that's the thing. The flash drive goes back to CTU, and then the mole gives it to Terrorist Tony. And that's...
Terrorist Tony or Tony?
Nasir? What was his name?
Yeah.
Nasseri.
It's probably going to be Terrorist Tony.
They give it to Nasseri, and that's where the rest of the plot line goes.
I feel like Boyfriend... Plus,
Nicole has to resolve her feelings for Isaac versus Eric and sort all that out.
Also, they're going to have to hook Papa Organa up to that torture machine again once they find out that they're looking for someone else now.
Oh.
Because they're going to have to start getting after him again. So... Tony's back in. Tony's back in the game.
So do you think they, like, try to fake up, like, him going to a black site again? Like, they just, like, go, la la la, you're getting transported home and abducted again?
Second black site number two. It's just Tony in a mask.
And it's secretly, like, the terrorist mask.
Yeah. It's a mask of that Nasir guy's face.
All right. Let's do our mole hunt. Who do you think is the mole, Rob?
I'm definitely going with Andy Boyfriend.
That makes a lot of sense at this point.
I'm going to go with
what's
Tony.
His name?
That's a great question.
Andy BF is his name.
Andy BF.
Brian, you want Tony. You're doubling down on Tony.
I'm doubling down on Tony.
You had Tony or Terrorist week. Tony? Tony.
I think they're both one and the same, but, like, I do think it's...
You think that they're one and the same?
I think that Tony's, like, in this. Like, Tony is definitely not just playing for the good guys.
All right.
Keith is the head of CTU, right?
right.
Keith. As soon as they told Keith about this plan to just bomb that place, I knew that there was no way he was going to be able to defend that situation.
Was Keith the one that was on the pipe? That wasn't
his
boyfriend.
The pipe?
No. Keith
I was like, what?
Keith Mullins is the head of CTU.
Yeah. Oh, so were you saying like...
No, Chris is saying someone else.
Yeah.
I said
I'm looking
boyfriend.
At the list of moles. I've
And then Chris was like, who is Keith?
What pipe are you talking about?
No, at the start of the show, boyfriend was...
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's a lot that happens in that parking lot.
It's like the guy on the pipe. It's like that could go a lot of ways.
I don't know. He's always just in like action parts. Like it's not very clear like what his overall role is, but like
I think
it's a good bet.
I think we might have our first points here.
I have...
Well, hold on.
Oh, first points?
So Harrison last week said the terrorist scout would be a reverse mole. And he is the one that told.
Oh, that's right. He gave up the info.
Where they were.
Nicely done.
Partial credit.
Does that count?
I think that's pretty
he's
good.
He's kind of an involuntary mole, maybe at that point.
It's our first point of the season. I'm going to go for it.
I'll take half credit.
I mean, it's still a mole because, like,
all right,
realistically, somebody should not be willing to give up that information.
I mean,
but
he's a mole that Isaac turned right then.
Exactly.
You know?
So yeah, I agree with it.
All right.
One point for Harrison.
So I'm going to try to follow it up.
Okay.
This week. So this week we saw the introduction of a new character, second unknown hacker person
Theo.
In CTU, Theo.
Yeah.
I think that Theo's got to be involved because there's no reason to just introduce another random CTU analyst at this point. So...
I like that pick. I'm going to say the reason is they just want banter between the CTU analysts, and they were just like, oh no, Andy's
done.
Who is Edgar Cousins going to banter with?
Another possible, yeah.
All right, Max.
Harrison stole my idea.
Oh no.
You can both be Theo.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced there's still a mole.
What about the
girl? But you don't get any points if you don't pick.
What about
Cousin Edgar?
My pick is going to be Cousin Edgar.
Oh, Chris is getting Cousin Edgar.
Okay.
Picking Edgarita.
I'm going to go with Uncle Organa.
Okay. Uncle Organa.
So does Uncle Organa be a mole by turning on Papa Organa? Or is he a mole because he's also helping the
terrorists? We know he's a mole. You can't pick him.
No, we don't know that.
He's a double mole.
He could be really deep into this.
Okay.
We know he's working with Organa.
We have to define his mole action.
What if the reason that Papa Organa was so didn't want to disclose anything is because Theo is real into this. He's real deep. He might be a jihadi himself.
Who knows?
We already know he's a terrorist. So like,
no, we don't know that guy's a terrorist. We know that he knows that the dad gave the terrorists the names.
Yeah,
I'm
so
just saying.
What
like,
are you saying that he's gonna do?
Yeah, what's he gonna do?
He's gonna turn out to be the guy who told the terrorists. I don't fucking know. I'm reaching here.
It's your pick.
All right.
I mean, I'll put it down just because I know it's not going to happen. Okay.
You don't know what's going to happen. Not going to happen.
We'll figure it out when it doesn't happen. So should we go to Kill of the Week then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Got some candidates this week.
I feel
mostly
like,
from Isaac.
I feel like Isaac is definitely the killer of the week.
He's the killer of the week. That's for damn sure.
I mean, his kill of the week is just whoever happened to get in front of his shotgun, because I'm not sure
like
who
that
actually
first
shot.
Shotgun shot there is real good.
Or his meat hook.
I do not think that I can count any of his shotgun kills because they were not one-handed.
They were?
If there was any that were one-handed, that would be kill
of
the week.
Yeah, but he was using the other hand to reload faster. It's not like he had the...
No.
Not like he had the flip-action shotgun.
No,
I feel like we got to go to the tape on this one.
I looked at it. He was using it for stability. If he was using it for just reloading, fine, whatever. But He was using it for stability.
What else? Oh, you might as well.
This is not a time for style points.
You have to, serious business. You have to be able to pump that shotgun or else you're only going to get one shot off. And then just have to keep on putting your hand back in the shotgun and pumping it and putting it down and then pumping it.
But yeah,
but the thing is, like, we're going for kill of the week. And style points do count, Max.
Style points definitely count.
This is family. How can you talk about family when family is all you got?
I feel like the other contender is the kneecaps.
That was pretty good.
Isaac's kneecap shot.
Sure.
So, like, see, the kneecap part itself or the fact that he killed the kneecap guy later?
The whole thing?
The whole thing. I think it includes, like,
the kneecap's really impressive, but that didn't kill him.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what made it impressive.
I mean, that's probably what limits it from a kill of the week perspective.
So I'm going to talk about another thing. I don't know who got killed in this either, but did, like, the drive-by. Just in general, like, that's a pretty, like, I think in any other week the drive-by would be the kill of the week,
like, probably, but we don't get any confirmed kills, so I don't know if I can qualify.
I got a confirmed kill for you.
You can't, like, qualify any of them. Then
you can confirm the shotgun.
Not really. They, like, drop.
We have to go to the
I
think we have to go to the tape and watch this part.
But then again, like, nobody's really getting up. Like, they're done for the season. Like, we can just all count them as kills.
But what about the hook? Wasn't there...
That was a confirmed kill.
The hook was a confirmed kill.
Yeah, so the first hook was a confirmed kill. The second one was not, because that was torture.
Well, he looked pretty dead.
No, he was definitely dead at the end of it.
Oh, really?
Okay. I think there was even, like, a background gunshot that Isaac was like, I'm done with this guy.
All right, fair enough.
Max,
is it possible to get this video queued up here?
While we're
discussing this?
We can pause this, but first I want to talk about my confirmed kill.
Okay.
Rebecca's marriage.
that's true.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Papa Organa or Senator Organa being all, I never knew you had this in you, even though she was the head of CTU.
She's the head of CTU. He's a senator, so he at least knows some of what's going on with this kind of stuff. Doesn't really make a lot of sense.
All right. Do we want to go to the tape?
Let's go to the tape.
I'd like to go to the tape.
All right. Hold on to your butts.
Is it going to be on the TV here?
Just we're pausing. Okay. Hopefully I didn't fuck shit up.
We're back. So there was a confirmed shotgun kill.
By Isaac, yep.
By Isaac. And there was a confirmed random shot by a random crew member.
And we confirmed that no one was shot. At least no one was killed during the drive-by.
We couldn't tell.
Someone could have been killed in the drive-by.
That's sure. Unconfirmed.
Unconfirmed kills in the drive-by.
I mean, all these are kind of unconfirmed. It's just... We're assuming that, like, based on, like...
Brian.
That shotgun is definitely confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, directing, like, makes it seem like a little, like, you know... Jumpy.
That dude is definitely dead in the ensuing missile attack, if anything. I guess the missile killed him then.
Sure.
So the thing is the missile attack kill of the week?
We can't really confirm that, like, any of these are confirmed kills, because 24 has a history of saying, hey, this person's dead, and bringing them back.
We don't know these people, though. They're definitely dead.
And basically... our stance in that has been, like, if it seems like they died in the episode, we'll consider them for kill of the week. If they bring them back, we can walk back the kill of the week.
It is a tradition of us to award kill of the week and then go, oh, wait, they're still alive.
They're not dead. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not our fault. That's all 24's fault.
But you should know 24. God damn it.
We can name it apparent kill of the week. Whatever.
Yeah. Shotgun shot.
Yeah,
I think shotgun's the best option.
I agree.
I strongly considered meat hook, but I'm going with shotgun.
I'm going to go with drive-by.
All right.
Well,
I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm outvoted.
The more votes win.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else we want to talk about this episode?
Keep it up. I mean...
keep what up?
Keep me being not bored up. There were some good moments in this episode.
This
not
is definitely
24.
One of the best... better episodes of the season.
Yeah.
I was just so disappointed by the Tony plot line.
Yeah, like, it's terrible.
Like, with the start of the podcast, it was hard for me to get over what a train wreck that is.
Can we talk about the budget for the show versus the budget of the Super Bowl commercial? because I feel like they're definitely not in line.
You're talking about like the media budget for the Super Bowl commercial?
Well, I'm just saying they spent a lot of money on a Super Bowl commercial.
On like getting the airtime.
Yeah. And they haven't spent any money really on this show.
But like the Super Bowl was on Fox. Yeah. So like technically they didn't have to pay. It was like an opportunity cost.
Yeah. That's just being smart.
I guarantee you when Fox looks at it, they paid for it. Whether, you know, it comes out of the 24, like, you know, marketing budget or just the budget overall, because that's what it feels like. You know, there's tax implications for it, so I'm sure they do.
But even then, like, okay, so Fox pays for, like, the Super Bowl commercial. You have a few or a ton of people going in and watching this show for the first couple episodes. Then after that, it's like, do I really want to stop watching this? Let me finish it out.
But it's we know the ratings aren't great. So it's not like I'm making that up.
But I think if they didn't have that Super Bowl commercial, it would be in an even worse place.
It would be, but it could be even in a better place
if they put the money into the production instead of... I just don't think that that's... I mean, yeah, like...
All right, imagine this show as good as, you know, 24 Season 1 or even Designated Survivor... Imagine the word of mouth that I think would just give 24 the credence that it already has. People know 24.
Okay, so
they're just like, yo, come back. It's really good. You don't really need to watch like seasons 3 through 8.
But here's the thing. Like season 1 of 24, there's no way that the budget for that show was higher than the budget for this season.
Sure.
Like it was that was definitely a cheaper show and it was a better show.
But because they need writers. So keep talking about it.
For sure.
Yeah. Exactly what Chris said, like, they phoned it in for the writing, and, like, they're trying to start Eric at the same level as Jack Bauer at some point in this season. It's worse than season 1 when they need to be starting at, like, season 5 or 6. Because if they start at, like, season 5 or 6, then it's like, oh, this guy's a badass. We need to watch this show, and it's only going to ramp up from there. But they just started out at such a low point that it's not going to work out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just can't because it's not that interesting.
No,
to have Jack Bauer at season 1 right now when you've already had Jack Bauer seasons 1 through 9.
But even Jack Bauer at season 1 was a lot more experienced than Eric Carter is right now. Like, he'd already been like the director of CTU at that point, or I think he was the director of CTU at that point, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah, I mean,
Eric Carter is just some dude who has no idea what's happening, wandering around trying to do these missions.
Non-CTU agent.
Like, Jack had all the military experience Eric Carter has and had worked his way up the CTU ranks to be the director.
It seems like they're like trying to fill Jack Bauer's like pants by having multiple people like fill different parts, but like it just isn't working. The writing isn't there and it just like it falls apart.
I don't agree with that. I think that like they're actually trying to fill like specific roles and make 24 into this like new thing.
No,
like they have like
Rebecca is the, you know, get the terrorists to like tell you, torture them, get all the information, and Eric is the go kill him person. Like that, there's definitely pieces that that is what Jack Bauer did, and now it's two different people.
But like they also have like the hacker person. Like they just have like,
well, the hacker person was never Jack Bauer,
right?
But that like, was Chloe.
But like they're also they're just trying to emulate everything that's happening this season with like previous seasons, is all I'm trying to say. I do not think that Eric is a good substitute for Jack Bauer.
I don't think it's Eric's fault. Eric has nothing to work with.
Yeah,
right. He's one of the least badass characters in the show.
I mean, maybe plot twist at the end of the season, Eric dies and Isaac is the one that gets to be the new Jack Bauer.
Do you really think that Isaac's going to be better next season? Like, it's not going to be a very good background either.
Yeah, well, they just turn it into The Wire, and they call it 24 The Wire.
Does anyone want to take the other side of the bet that I'm going to say Isaac is not survived the season?
No.
They're not going to pull that off, but I wish they did. I think that would be really cool. Oh, yeah. We're talking about Isaac, not Eric. Fuck that. Never mind.
Yeah,
I think Isaac's going to survive another season. He's probably going to... If this gets renewed, which I think it will, I think that Isaac's going to die next season.
He's going to die next season. He's not dying from all the wounds he just got this episode.
No.
Yeah, like if they're planning on having this thing be multiple seasons, they got to set up some long-term characters that people will actually give a shit about.
Exactly.
Like
What do you mean? We That's care about Rebecca.
Like, if you're imagining this thing is like a one season show, then totally I agree. Like, Isaac's definitely gonna die just because that's how it's set up. But like, if you're thinking that it's gonna be multiple seasons, then I don't know.
I don't give a shit about any of these characters except Isaac.
Right. Exactly.
What about Senator Organa?
I am invested in the concept of a President Organa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about Aisha?
She's not coming back. They have a perfect opportunity right now, but it's not gonna happen.
I mean, I'm definitely thinking that like President Organa is gonna happen. Isaac is gonna be like doing his own thing. Eric's gonna be leader of CTU or something, but they're gonna try to continue for like another season, and then from there it's gonna fall apart.
All right, Brian.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. We've gone a little long. I don't know if we want to talk about other shows right now. So
I do want to talk about another podcast.
Local lacrosse promotion.
It's called Who Put This On? It's by five or so relatively funny people. I'm a big fan.
Relatively funny seems pretty apt.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of them seems to have a name that's always a mix on Max. What a funny coincidence.
What a character.
What a guy.
Such a good character. I love that podcast.
Where can I find more info about that podcast? Because I know you're also a listener, right, Chris?
I am a listener, yes. I'm waiting.
Max is trying to make this so cryptic for our listeners here for some reason.
I'm anxiously awaiting the new episode, Max.
Me too.
So most of us are on a podcast, Who Put This On? At Who Put This On Twitter. Facebook.com/WhoPutThisOn. We recently recorded a new episode, but it's not out yet.
Should be coming out soon, though. Hopefully.
We'll talk about it after the podcast.
I won't put any money on how quick it will come out, though.
Stay tuned.
All right. And you can... anyone have any plugs? Want to share their Twitter? Harrison, Max, Rob?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Harrison Hoffman.
Rob?
No. Yeah, nothing.
You can follow me on Twitter at TheChrisLorenz. Follow us on Twitter at TheDPPL. You can find us on Facebook.com/TheDPPL.
Peace out.
Adios.